Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game. So just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back. All right, all you positive heads. On this week's SoulShare episode, I'm very excited to have Rachel Gibler here with me on the show. Rachel is an entrepreneur, coach, host of the It's Fucking Spiritual podcast, and world-renowned light twerker. Hello, Rachel. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I love that intro. That is beautiful.
You're welcome for that designation. You know, my friend Adam, he manages, he's a music artist manager. I don't know if you know, like, East Forest. Yeah, he manages East Forest, and he just sent me some music the other day. We're talking about, we do events here at my co-living space in LA, and he has an artist that he's just kind of getting behind, and he's like, check out this song, you know, I want them to play at the Mystic Manor in the coming months, and let's put together an event, and the song, the artist is Light Language, and the song was Light Twerker, and I'm like, okay, this is really good. And I'm like, I'm going to gift this to Rachel because she is going to appreciate it, and so you're welcome.
It's completely my vibe. I love that introduction, so thank you, Brandon. I appreciate that. I need to listen to this song.
Yeah, you're going to like it. It's a good song. So let's start with my cliche opening question, which is, you're in an elevator. The woman next to you looks over, says, what's your passion? You have 10 floors to answer. What do you say?
My passion is helping to bridge the gap in the spiritual community from asleep to awake for people.
I like that. I like that. That is the day.
And yeah, so I'm sure we'll get into my story, but
that's my next question, actually.
My podcast, yes, beautiful. My podcast is called It's Fucking Spiritual, and that was wildly intentional, the polarization of that. And what I do and what my lane is in the spiritual community and just online is to break down spiritual principles for people in a way that is relatable and understandable and actually applicable to your life and make it from this 3D or this 5D esoteric thing.
I'm with you.
Bringing it down into the 3D, making it human, allowing us to be raw and real and messy and blending really the woo and the work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love it. Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard, before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water.
Yeah, right.
You know, what comes to mind when you say that is, as I mentioned, I run a co-living space called the Mystic Manor in LA. And when we first moved in, it was like we were doing retreats and shooting this late night style talk show and just so much work and things needed to happen here, right? And I remember there were certain people that were wanting to come in and be a part and stay here. And they're like, well, you know, I don't, what I can do is I can hold the space for the vibe and I'll meditate each morning. It's like, I don't need anyone to send me like distance Reiki. I need someone to take out the trash. Like, no, thanks, but no thanks. Like, you know, that's not going to, that doesn't carry your weight here. Nope.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love it. Yeah. We got to do some real shit. I'm assuming, can I curse on here?
Sure. Knock yourself out. So if you would, Rachel, share whatever feels relevant. I know your backstory has been an interesting one, and I always want to start there to just get whatever's relevant to share. How did you get here?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that context is really important, and it's informed what it is that I do now in my work because of where I came from. And so this is a really, really important part. And it's important to note, so I grew up in beautiful parents and that had been together since the age of 13. And I was an only child, but as you can imagine, like outside looking in, it was a pretty great life. And it was, but I had no framework outside of myself. I actually would have considered myself atheist growing up and just really no belief in anything. And when I was 16, my world came crashing down. My father was killed in a freak accident. Because what I know now, what I realize is that lack of framework and that lack of belief in anything outside of myself, of a source, God, universe, higher power, any belief that things happen for you, which I could go into as bypassing as well. There's polarization to that too. But really when he passed, it sent me on an 8-year downward spiral.
Wow.
Of drugs and alcohol abuse. I got into abusive relationships. I was very unconscious to everything, all the situations that I was putting myself in. And eventually, when I was 21, I took my first corporate job, and I was there for a couple of years. And I was just working 80 hours a week for someone else, numbing out on the weekends, and just running on a hamster wheel of my life, really. And my inside, my knowing, my intuition, I wouldn't have called it that at the time, but I had this internal knowing of this won't be all for nothing. One day you're going to share your story. One day you're going to make something of yourself and affect people's lives in a positive way. And 2 years into that corporate job, I ended up being in my own freak accident that caused me to take 3 months medical leave from my job. And this was the best thing that ever happened to me. Now, what I know, your wish is my command from the universe. 2 years or 2 weeks prior to this accident, I had been crying to my mom on the phone and saying like, oh, I wish time would stop so I could think, right? Like, I just wish I want to do something with my life, but I'm just running on this hamster wheel.
Yeah.
Sure enough.
Careful what you wish for.
Yep, exactly, exactly. Not in the way that I would have wished for it, but we always get exactly what it is that we need. And I shattered my leg. So I ended up having to move back in with my mom. I was in bed with a cast from my hip to my ankle for 3 months and relearning to walk again, the whole thing.
Wow.
And about 2 weeks into my recovery, I heard this voice. It was like, use this time wisely and this won't be all for nothing. And I grabbed my computer so fast and I Googled how to be happy because that was the only place I knew where to start.
Wow.
I had never heard of mindset work. I had never heard of self-development. I had no clue what any of this stuff was.
How many years ago was this?
This was 5 years ago.
Okay.
And I was, that's how I found self-development, mindset work, eventually introduced me to manifestation. And I dedicated 3 months in bed to studying entrepreneurs and how they think and how other people got over, you know, big hardships in their life and alchemized that into something beautiful. It's not the language I would have used at the time, but that is what I did.
Wow.
And I went back, quit my job, ended up starting my first company. And yeah, then shared my story on the internet. And that has just grown and grown over time. And now it's my full-time job.
Yeah. Wow. Congratulations on that, you know, just making that transition. Because I know so many people are, you know, wanting to make that transition. Some think about it for 20 years and don't, and others finally do. And some, you know, it comes more organically, I think. And so it's, yeah, it's definitely not an easy thing to sort of leap and trust that the net will appear.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, wow. So share with me a little bit about, okay, so you transitioned out of that. Obviously recovering after 3 months enough to get back to normal life to some degree, it sounds like. And so what did you do to really turn, you know, go from working for someone else those 80 hours to, you know, starting your own business? And how did you bridge that gap at the time?
Yes, absolutely. So I was fortunate in the sense of my mom had come to me and said, actually, you know, I would like to start a business with you.
Will
you run this and let's do this together?
Cool.
And so we actually ended up opening, this had nothing to do with what I was doing in the online space. Mm-hmm. We ended up opening up an eyelash extension salon together.
Oh, wow.
And so I was running that and I was doing all of the things for that from a management standpoint and getting the build out of the physical location because this is a brick and mortar location, right?
Mm-hmm.
So building that out and hiring and training and doing all of those things. And at the same time, I started to join programs online. Mm-hmm. So I got my first life coach, and then that turned into leading me down the path of really like joining a mastermind, learning offers and how people create things online. And then I started going to events. And so it was actually a slow process, because at least for what it was that I created online. So about 9 months after my initial, I guess you could call it awakening, to all of this information, I flew out to a women's event. And at this time, I had no social media because of a previous abusive relationship. I like had gone completely dark on the internet for 3 years.
Wow.
And so I had to work through my own fear around being seen.
Yeah.
And even posting online. So, I mean, I was really like working with an uphill battle with a lot of things.
Wow.
And it was a slow process of, I flew out to an event and, you know, the women there were encouraging me like, post your first photo, just post your first thing, sharing your story. Mm-hmm. And so I did. And something that I did that was actually really profound looking back now is that I knew in order to share, it wasn't just going to be like, I needed to share all of it. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. And personally, I ripped the Band-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, darkness can't thrive when you bring it to light. Shame hides in the shadows. I'm going to just share from the heart and raw and honest. And that's really been at the core and my leading driver for everything that I've done up into this point. But yeah, I just started and
never looked back. Really
never looked back. Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you. Good for you. You know what I love about having you on the show is even in this last month, these, you know, weekly soul shares that I do, I've had Mary Morrissey, who, you know, learned these things when she was on her deathbed as a teenager in 1967 and has now been teaching this stuff for, you know, 50 years. And Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote Conversations with God, and Mike Dooley, who's, you know, these people have been at it for decades. And so I love having this sort of fresh perspective on, you know, hey, 5 years ago, this is where I was. And look at how I fast tracked my life to, you know, your podcast is popular. You've had multiple companies now, right? That you've helped to start.
Three.
Wow. You've moved quick.
Yeah, it hasn't felt that way at the time. So I think that's really important to even share with the listeners is that, like, you think your life is moving slow.
Yeah.
You feel like nothing's happening. And specifically with online, because I always was like looking up to people. You maybe you're listening to this podcast, you're looking up to Brandon, you're the other people that you follow, right?
Yeah.
Who share and who have been at it for a long time. And that was me. I was like, oh my gosh, how do people, you know, get even 100,000 downloads on their podcast. Now I'm, you know, at 500,000 and we launched a year and a half ago. So it, but at the time it felt like nothing was happening.
Yeah.
And I only launched my brand, my online brand, like really truly launched and decided and said, it's fucking spiritual. We're going in this lane. And it took 4 years of me starting and stopping and joining programs and doing the inner work and going down a lane and realizing it wasn't in alignment and then stepping back. And then it just felt like, well, when is it going to be my turn? Am I ever going, like, that's what my ego felt. Right. And it wasn't until I was like, oh my gosh, what's the message to share and what wants to come through me? And like me as the vessel, what am I here to provide? And once I got connected to that and I knew my lane and I said, go, it's been a year and a half and it's blown up to the point that I sold my first two businesses. Yeah. So for the listeners who are listening to this and feeling like maybe it's not happening for them yet, it felt that way for me in many moments. And it feels that way often in our day to day to day, but there were so many things that actually took place to get me here. And I really was starting and stopping, and I took 4 years of really like joining programs, taking a certain direction, realizing that wasn't in alignment, and then, you know, stopping there and then doing more inner work and coming back and sharing again. And it felt like to my ego that it wasn't happening fast enough. But when I got clear on putting myself aside and instead coming from the place of use me as a vessel.
Yep.
What is the message I'm meant to share? What am I meant to give to humanity? And then that came through me. And I was like, oh my gosh, I know the lane that I'm meant to serve in. And then when I said go, it immediately took off. And I only launched this brand and went all in on creating a coaching business and really serving in this way and the podcast and all of those things a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Wow.
And I took 4 years to like really develop my skill set.
Yep.
To like join different programs and to figure out myself before I went all in with, okay, let me share this in with the world. Right.
Right.
And then once I did, it took off enough that I sold my first two companies and now this is my full-time job.
Wow. Yeah. That's really, yeah. It's like to build a company is one thing, and to get to where you can exit is a whole nother thing. A lot of times that doesn't happen. And I have a crazy story I've shared on the show with my own entrepreneurial venture, going from my friend's couch to an Inc. fastest growing private company, to being offered to be bought out for $30 million, to losing 90% of the revenue in 12 hours of that offer and the whole thing blowing up. Then my best friend trying to steal what was left. It's like a whole movie script. So, I mean, congratulations on that and getting there. And it's like, you know, you also said something a few minutes ago about, you know, the podcast and numbers and, you know, like how much it's grown. I think you said like 500,000, you know, downloads, which is amazing. And it's like the thing about numbers, it's great for me even hearing that, because it's like, you know, of course, we all have the same struggles of comparison and like, you know, the thing about numbers or money or downloads or likes on social media, which a lot of people are really caught up on that. That's been something that I've always kind of like not that interested in. But for a lot of people, it's everything. And it's like, you know, I literally have moments where I'll think, oh my gosh, I should be I should be bigger. You know, my show's been, obviously I've been at a lot longer, like 25 million downloads. It's like, but hold on. Like, these guys are doing way more. And it's like, numbers never end. It's like the fact that you're doing it at all is really the success. You've made it, you know, as you said, make me a vessel. You know, St. Francis of Assisi said, make me an instrument of thy peace. And the sooner you can come to that place, and it's not about, then all that's fun. Don't get me wrong. I love like seeing the show grow or any of those things. Like, but when it becomes, you know, I think back to, you know, I was in a band many years ago, and I remember the first couple of years, some of the funnest, most creative times of my life, like late night, you know, super young in the studio, you know, recording in super creative space. Then fast forward 5-6 years, our bass player's brother is in No Doubt. We played with all these bands that are going on to be huge. And now, hold on, we've got to make it somewhere for it to mean something more. And it's like the journey is the goal, right? And I think that's a lesson for all of us, whether we're talking about, you know, 3 businesses, 30 businesses, 500,000 downloads, you know, whatever the heck Joe Rogan's getting each month, you know, it's like there's so many layers. And really, if you can just move into those that are for me are going to naturally resonate with whatever my vibrational offering is. And I don't, you know, it's like, I remember having Charles Eisenstein, I had him on the show, but I remember seeing him give a talk at an event I was at. And he said, you know, who's more important, Gandhi or Gandhi's grandmother who raised him, right? Gandhi affected all these people, but would it have happened without that one person? So if you have one listener to your show or your offering, you know, that you end up putting out in the world, and it ends up being a, you know, the next Gandhi's, you know, grandparent. Okay. You know, so I think that's a really important piece for all of us to get.
Yeah, it is. It's something that I consistently get to come back to is, I love how you put it so simply, the journey is the goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think to your point, you can't forget the ripple effect that it is that you create.
Yep.
And a reminder for all listeners, whether you have a podcast or not, whether you share your story on the internet or not, right? This isn't just for people that have a social media presence and compare themselves with numbers, which I think is really common, but it's also, what's the ripple effect of just your vibration and who you are being in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you walk into the grocery store and you smile at the grocery bagger and you make their day just a little bit better. And then who do they go off and go and affect? You're always shifting the energy in one direction or another simply through your presence. So who is it that you want to be?
Yeah.
And you don't underestimate the power that you have and the effect that you have, mm-hmm. because you're so important. And it's not just for, you know, people that do this work and share this work. It's for all of us.
Yeah. Very important point. It's like, you know, I even heard it said before where it talks about the different types of spiritual masters. I forget, it might've been Osho I was reading many years ago. I can't quite recall, but he was talking about the different types of enlightened masters. You take, a Jesus, for example. This was supposedly, you know, an enlightened being who is really like, you know, putting a lot out there verbally, energetically. You take someone like, you know, someone else, I forget who he's using as an example, that like these enlightened masters who say nothing, but are just emanating, because we're always impacting the field with our vibration. So if you feel like you know, you don't have a voice, or you're not making a difference, you are impacting the collective every moment of every day with your own vibrational offering. And I think that's a really, you know, it's like the first follower we all have, our listener for tuning in, is us to ourselves. And then that is going to be, you know, that ripple of impact. That, you know, that true ROI is going to be felt.
Yeah, absolutely.
You said something earlier that jumped out, and I think it's an important point. You talked about, you know, things happening for you, not to you, and how we have to be really careful with that, not sort of spiraling into spiritual bypassing. And it is. It's a very razor's edge talking about that particular subject. So I'm curious to hear you sort of elaborate more what your experience is.
Absolutely. This is what I'm so about. I love this type of topic of conversation. And it's the work that I get to do in the world is really understanding that there's polarity in everything. So with all of these principles that we learn, they're all so real. Like the principle of everything is happening for us, not to us. That I deeply believe to my core.
Me too.
And that's the law of polarity in action, is we also get to move through things and feel things and have to have an awareness enough to know when we are using that as a way to not feel something that is demanding to be felt.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the true spiritual path. And so I'm always very cautious and cognizant of when to use those principles, even in my coaching, when I share, because the thing is, if you were to have said to me right after my father was killed in an accident, well, everything's happening for you, I'd been like, you go F yourself.
Yeah, you'd
right
want to punch them. Okay? Yeah.
Right, exactly. And so when we are in the midst of any sort of trauma, big T, little T trauma, like something that just affects us in a way that, you know, either we're angry or we're sad or whatever the thing is that is happening, whatever the circumstance is, whether that's really big trauma, like I just mentioned, or it's something smaller, like someone said something to you that really, you know, hurt you in that moment. When you say that to someone, when they are in the midst of like the feeling moment,
mm-hmm,
you've missed the point of what they actually need to do.
Mm.
And it's feel the thing. And what do we know now about trauma being stored in the body? When we don't feel the stuff that is demanding to be felt, we stuff it down, we push it down, we say love and light, we, you know, everything's happening for you and mm-hmm, go search for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually like turning a blind eye to the most spiritual path,
mm-hmm,
which is really feeling deeply the emotion, mm-hmm, processing through it. Allow yourself to feel the anger, the hurt, the frustration, the guilt, the shame, whatever emotion that is bubbling up inside and wants to come through, so that you can then alchemize that and that doesn't get stuck in your body and then come out sideways later in the future for months, years, or forever to come.
Yeah.
Because you didn't feel it in the now moment. And so when we can get on the other side of the automatic emotion that comes up in the body,
mm-hmm,
and we can get to a more regulated state,
mm-hmm,
then we can begin, okay, actually, if I'm coming from the belief and I know that everything is happening for me, and if you connect the dots backwards in your life, you see that everything was happening for you, that breakup, that thing that, you know, you didn't want, or whatever happened with the business, right? All these things that end up happening for you when you can connect the dots backward, but it's not helpful to say that in the moment.
Yep.
But when we can come to a more regulated place, then we can begin to say, okay, it's the same thing of how did I create this,
mm-hmm,
right? Or how did I attract this to me? It's like those things aren't helpful until we're in a regulated space. And then we can actually begin to dissect and look at how something is happening for us, or how what in us attracted that to us to experience, and what it taught us and all of the lessons, right? And then we can extract the positive lesson out of it, apply it, and then begin on our path. But I think that it's really important that we talk about in this space, It doesn't have to all be love and light. And just because you're not feeling love and light doesn't mean you're less spiritual. It doesn't mean that you're less evolved. It means that you're a human having a human experience. And it's really important that we honor the messiness that this is. And that's just as spiritual to me as well.
Yeah, very, very well broken down. I think you said something there that is a really good thing to ping on with when it's appropriate to sort of take on that lens. Am I regulated or dysregulated? Is the person regulated or dysregulated? Because if they're in a dysregulated state, you're doing harm. And yes. It's so easy for the person who's not dysregulated and is excited about the idea that life is happening for you, not to you. And, you know, for me, it's definitely been a lesson that I've had to really get over time is like, you know, you're not doing anyone any favors trying to fix them or make it better even necessarily when someone is like in that state, allowing, you know, we've been all taught to run from our feelings and suppress them and not go through them. And that's the exact opposite of what wants to transpire, yeah. Ironically.
Yeah, it's so important, this message. And I think that I come from a place of compassion for everyone, right? Because there's people that are just trying to help, right?
They think they're helping.
No,
yeah.
This is happening. They think they're helping.
Yeah.
And so I have compassion for that. And we also get to educate ourselves on what that's actually doing and creating. It's kind of like, you know, your friend is in a relationship that you know is toxic and, you know, finally they break up and she's all upset and you're like, no, this is happening for you, mm-hmm. but this is so great. And it's like, well, that friend doesn't really give a shit mm-hmm. at the moment. What
yeah.
is, you know, it, so I think we get to look at what is the outcome or what is the way that we get to truly support in this moment and what's the purpose of our support?
Right.
Because I think that what I've at least come across and seen is people that are very spiritual and very into this work. It's like, it almost becomes this thing of the ego of like, well, I'm going to support you and raise you higher.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's almost serving the person, even though they might be unconscious to that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And maybe it's because that's a mirror for what they're doing for their own emotions in their life. Right.
Right.
So that's why I have compassion for that place.
Right.
And at the same time, it's coming back to being of service,
right?
Of true service. What does this person really need in this now moment? Maybe they just need you to be there.
Yeah.
To witness them in their humanness.
Yeah.
And maybe they just, you know, like they don't need you to fix that. Maybe they don't need suggestions. Maybe they don't need the love and light other than for you to just hold them and be there and say, all of you is welcome here.
And wow, that must be tough to experience what you're feeling.
Yeah.
You know,
validate.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Because that is the most spiritual path, I believe.
Yeah. Agreed.
And if we can couple doing this work and the everything is happening for us, we are attracting all of it to us, all of those things, if we can couple that work when we're in a regulated state
mm-hmm.
and then also honor ourselves in our own dysregulation, feel it, see it, hold it, be there with it, allow it to move through us, get ourselves back into the regulation. It's like this dance that we get to do in our own humanness and understand that all of it is welcome and all of you gets to exist on a spectrum. And really, it doesn't mean anything about you because who you truly are is whole, perfect, and complete.
Yeah, well said. Well said. I'd love to hear you speak a little bit to, you know, helping people. And it kind of goes along with this. You've obviously manifested a lot in a relatively short period of time. Your manifestation formula seems to be working, creating the life of your desired reality. So what did you do and what do you recommend for those who are, you know, where you were 5 years ago to take those steps and reframe, you know, learn to reframe your thoughts in a way that, you know, are serving their journey, their desired journey.
Absolutely. So here's what I'll say. And I could give you a sit down and do this manifestation formula, which you could get all over the internet.
Yep.
But decide what you want, decide why it is that you want it, connect to the feelings of having it, raise your vibration, take action on, you know, implementing it. And all of that is real and true.
Yep.
And yet, what I will say, what's actually helped me the most and what I want to give to your listeners and that I don't see talked about enough in this space, it's what I do every single day that I want to give, not necessarily a formula, but I want to give insight into. I have really learned that when I started on this path, I also fell into the trap of I needed to be high vibe. And I needed to make sure that like every day I wanted to be outputting and manifesting my highest abundance and like making sure that my thoughts were always positive and that I was attracting every. And then I fell into this trap that I just couldn't keep up with because I was bypassing the humanness element.
Yeah.
And then enter the familiar feelings of shame and guilt and I'm not good enough, right? And just it found another displaced way to give me the same story of I'm not keeping up with. Right now that I'm, and I see this happen a lot of times too, is people wake up to this work and then they think, okay, great. And I'm now I've woken up and it's going to be this beautiful trajectory of just constant climbing.
Good luck. And
yeah, what ends up happening so often is you wake up to this work. And then this happens with my students a lot too, is like, then they end up dipping because they're like, well, now I'm fully aware of all of my crap and yet I can't seem to get through it. And I'm still creating these patterns and then they go on this wave. And so what has helped me so much, and actually the byproduct has been being higher vibe, I guess you could say, but like is every single day I start where my feet are. And I notice the subtleties. And what I mean by that is when I wake up, I put something on, I direct my thoughts. That is so important. What it is that you do first thing in the morning, direct your thoughts. I'm inputting like positive things into my mind all the time. And then I notice the subtleties. So as a woman, we're on a monthly cycle, right? And so I don't have this like every single day, you know, I'm going through a 24-hour cycle like men are, right? So I also notice that like there's certain weeks that I can output a lot. There's certain weeks that I'm more in like a winter. And so I start where my feet are, depending on where I am at and what it is that I'm feeling. And by notice the subtleties, I mean, I look at myself in the mirror and I notice the small things that I love about myself that I didn't see before. Aww. And I like will put my hand on my heart. Like I just take a moment and I be in the pause and I tune into what I'm feeling and I tune in. And then, you know, I don't expect myself to be high vibe every single day. And I just like notice and I witness without judgment. And then I raise myself just 5%. Well, what would 1% better in this moment be? And then, you know, I go throughout my day and I'm very cognizant about what I put into my brain. So scrolling versus not, like I'll notice I don't get it perfect all the time, but then I'll be like, huh, okay, I feel a little bit off. I'll notice the subtlety rather than just bulldozing through and being like, oh, why do I feel like crap when, you know, you've eaten like crap, you haven't slept, you're, you know, like scrolled on social media for 3 hours today.
No sunlight.
Yeah, no sunlight. You're not. So I'm just like, oh, and I notice. And then at the end of the day, I always look at every single day without fail. I journal every day. And I notice what went well today. What am I celebrating myself for in this moment? No matter what it was, whether it was we typically only celebrate the big things. I don't. I celebrate like, oh, I shifted out of that mood that I felt, you know, and I moved through it in 10 minutes when before that would have taken me 3 hours.
Right.
Or I will literally notice myself. And I do it every single day.
Mm.
And that is actually what has created the most abundance in my life, has been the slowing down and the noticing of myself. And now I'm so much more in tune with myself and what I need. And so you hear those things like, oh, be your own best friend, or like, oh, give this to yourself. If you're not giving, you know, what you want to yourself, then you can't attract. But people don't actually know what that means. People don't actually know what that looks like.
Right.
And so that's what I'm sharing is like, yes, I could tell you that I, every single, you know, it's a month I sit down, what am I manifesting and what are the things I do, keep a journal with my manifesting, what am I manifesting and what am I calling in and why do I want it? Da, da, da. But it's the things that I do every day to cultivate the relationship with myself and notice myself and celebrate myself and allow those small subtleties and those small celebrations to expand, because what you focus on expands. And so if you're going to celebrate yourself for the little things, those things expand.
Yeah.
That's the formula.
Mm, yeah. Very well said. And, you know, makes me think, some of what you said makes me think of Abraham Esther Hicks teachings, where she talks about, look, you don't even have to, you just need to stop swimming upstream. You don't necessarily need to, you know, have, you know, this overabundance of always feeling, you know, super high vibe, as you put it. And you know, just the non-resistance, you'll naturally flow with the current of the universe. And just reaching for that, you know, you don't have to go from one polarity to the other, like you're feeling really off and all of a sudden in, you know, 30 seconds later, you're going to be, you know, ecstatic and bubbly. It's like, oh, just reach for a little bit more neutral thought. Reach for a little bit more neutral thought. Allow the current, the stream of existence to carry you. As long as you're not paddling super hard upstream, it's, you're going to start to get into that flow in an organic, natural way.
Yeah. Yeah. I practice this so much. I love that you brought that up, because this is something I actually got from Abraham, was the reaching for the next best feeling thought.
Yeah, right.
And I'll go on a rampage. Like I do this, and this helps me process my emotions and what it is that I'm actually feeling. Because so much of what we feel is just, it's the 95% that we've always felt, the same thoughts as the days before, right?
Yep.
And so I'll notice something that comes up and then I'll soften it just a little bit. Like noticing our language that we use, the language that you use architects the reality in which you live in.
You're spelling, and you're casting a spell, your words are your wands, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So beginning to literally just practice like being exactly where you are. Oh, I notice that I'm having a feel, rather than like, I feel so much. I mean, I'm trying to think of like something that I would say, like I'm the worst, or I'm like that I used to say back when, you know, oh, I'm just a fuck up, or oh, I'm always just, nothing ever works out for me. It's just like, instead, I notice that I'm feeling an emotion. I notice that I'm feeling an intense emotion. I'm noticing that I'm feeling like this emotion is coming up in my body and it's making me feel kind of hot. And I also know that not all emotions last forever and not all emotions are going to stay in my body, because every single emotion that I've ever felt moves through me. And so that means that I can allow this emotion to move through me too. So I will literally do that in the way that Abraham does it. And I've practiced it and I say it out loud, and then you'll begin. People talk about alchemizing the energy. And then they don't really know, like, so many people listen to that and go say, what does that mean? That is what that means.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's, you know, this idea that we have to be in the same vibrational high vibe state all the time is a fallacy. And you feeling off is as divine as you, you know, being your pinnacle energetic experience, right? When you understand that the higher the branches, the deeper the roots, the brighter the light, the bigger the shadow it casts, right? Yeah. And so these are, this is part of the reality here. And the good news is, if it's something that you don't want, like you kind of alluded to there or stated, well, guess what? It's always passed before and it's going to, you know, change is guaranteed. Yeah. And so if it's something that you don't prefer, it's an emotion that you don't prefer, instead of, you know, shaking your fist at it or running from it, you know, facing it and integrating and transmuting it and bringing courage to the experience and knowing, you know, oh, on the other side of this, there's going to be something beautiful. This is literally creating the right conditions for something else to bloom. It's like fertilizer in a sense. Like, yeah, you know, I think of Derek Rydell, who I've referenced quite a bit, who's I've been on the show years. It's been a while now, but he talked about the law of emergence. You know, this idea that as opposed to the law of attraction, it's like, no, it's not out there for you to attract. It's already within you in potential. It's already happened in the eternal, you know, no time state of infinity that we're floating in currently. Mm-hmm. And it's like, You take like the little boy who grabs the acorn off of the riverbed and puts it on his shelf. It's never going to reach its potential, but you create the right conditions for the acorn, the right sunlight, the right, you know, rain, the right temperature. And out of that is going to bloom this incredible, you know, oak tree. And so if you think in terms of, oh, the challenges are the harder emotions and things, these are actually fertilizer to lead to that next expanded state. It's like this two step forward, one step back. That's sort of the trajectory, the cadence that we evolve. Then it's like, oh, okay, I'm right on course. This is as divine as any other experience.
Yeah. Yeah. That last piece that you said, that I'm right on course, that is so important, is that nothing's wrong.
Yeah, right.
Nothing has gone wrong.
Right.
And the more that we can lean into welcoming the dance of all of it and see that all of it's art.
Right.
All of it's creation.
Right.
All of it is expression.
Yeah.
And you just desiring to be fully expressed and the up level always unlocks the equal of its resistance. Mm. That is the law.
Yeah.
And it gets fun. The more that you do this dance and welcome this dance and you do this work, it's not that we're trying to bypass and create everything to feel so good all the time. It's that we can move through and we recognize the darker the emotions, we can hold ourselves in those, and we can also be so divinely like nourished in the light. It's like we get both.
Yeah.
And we get to love both, and we get to love the polarity of both, because one can't exist without the other. And what I've found is the more that I do this work, the less knocked down I am by the times that I'm in the shadow, because I know what's coming.
Right. Right. That's exactly it. It's like you understand the process, and that definitely helps to take the sting away. Yeah. To some degree. And, you know, it doesn't mean you're always going to be happy with what's transpiring. And I don't think our goal is to just be infinitely happy. That, you know, I think we can always be at peace with what is. That, you know, happiness isn't necessarily, peace is the ultimate goal. I'm going to be at peace. I'm trusting the process. I don't dance to get to a certain place on the dance floor. You know, you don't sing, you don't listen to a song to hear the final note. And you get that and it's like, okay, we're in it. Okay, this is challenging. All right, this is great fertilizer for what's next.
That story
is really serves us well, I've found.
Yeah, it really does. And I love the ways that you've put that. It's like, yeah, you don't listen to a song to hear the final note. It's like, and there's music in between the notes.
Right.
And in the pauses.
Right. They say music is the space between the notes, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think it's just really understanding that you're exactly where you need to be and to start where your feet are, and it's all perfect. And just because you feel certain things doesn't mean that it's wrong, and it doesn't mean that you're wrong. Mm-hmm. And it welcome all of it.
Yeah.
Welcome all of it. Notice all of it. Feelings demand to be felt and are asking to be noticed. And the more that you can lean into that and create the space and understand that you are worthy to create that space for yourself. And I think people are afraid of that sometimes, is are afraid of creating the space, but it's like, just create the pause. And you think, oh, I'm slowing everything down and like, I can't take space. And it's like, no, actually.
That creates more room.
It creates more room and it creates more momentum.
Yeah.
The more space I've created and the more I've slowed down, my magnetization has sped up. And so I'm like here, solid and as a pillar for myself. And it's almost as if all these things are starting to attract to me.
Yeah.
And now I'm really beginning to understand like, manifestation is so much more that than anything else. And
less about doing and more about being.
Yeah.
And that's been the biggest lesson for me. I mean, my initials are BBB and it's like, and I'm such a doer. And it's like, okay, I can see why I came in with that encoded message, because that's been a slow one for me to get. You know, I am just so wired to do things and accomplish and go. And it's something that it's really a daily conscious effort to be aware. Oh, what state am I? Am I in a state of like fight or flight and chasing, you know, the dragon, so to speak. And I've got to check as many things off the to-do list or, you know, and then I found when I do take that space, have you ever noticed where, you know, you're kind of back and forth, oh, I should really work today or whatever, and I'm going to take the space, I'm going to do this thing, I'm going to spend the money to pamper myself, whatever it is. And then you're doing something that's not really work. And then all of a sudden some great thing, you know, you get the email or the phone call or whatever that, you know, it's just like, oh my gosh, what was just accomplished in my non-hustle state is, you know, 10 days of hustling, you know? And so you start noticing that and you're like, oh, hold on. Maybe I've had it a little wrong with this, you know, hustle, 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 go, go, go.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's such a paradox. It's like,
it really
doesn't
is.
Seem like it should make sense. But once you begin to practice it, you begin to see that creating the spaciousness for yourself is you speeding up ultimately. Because it's you working efficiently.
Right.
Because it's you tending to you.
Your vibration. Really?
Yeah. It's your vibration. And the last thing I'll I guess say on that specifically is that, you know, you can create space by taking a ton of time off or going to the spa or doing the things that like we typically think of pampering ourselves or we have to like creating space looks like I need to take a vacation, right? But spaciousness is the music between the notes. So meaning like it's the 5 minutes here that you take to tune in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the extra 30 seconds that you take to look at yourself in the mirror. I'm in the middle of building this company. So like, I'm not taking days off right now. I am also actioning. I am also like taking steps, but I'm doing it from a place where there still feels like so much spaciousness because I'm leaving room for me.
Yeah.
And that even looks like in between, in moments, rather than picking up my phone to scroll, like I'm just sitting with myself for 2 minutes. So anybody that's like, oh, that must be nice, I can't take time off, or oh, that must be nice, I, you know, I have to hustle or I have to do these things. Everyone has room for spaciousness in the brief moments in time. Like spaciousness is a way of being.
Yeah.
And it's a practice.
Yeah, I think I found just taking a moment to be conscious of your breath and breathe deeply into your heart, 3 deep breaths, and all of a sudden it shifts your, you know, it kind of snaps you out of that, that there's not enough time, energy, and into, you know, into your heart and into spaciousness, the spaciousness that is there.
Yeah, it's your life force energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the very first thing you do on this planet. It's the very last thing that you leave, right?
In between birth and death, breath.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Tuning back into the breath is a really good way to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, one thing that you said a minute ago, too, is about like the worthiness that a lot of people, you know, I don't feel worthy, et cetera. And it's like, I always like to say, you know, you are as worthy as any other being ever has been, could be, or will be. And this moment is as divine as any other moment ever has been. Even in its mundane essence at the water cooler on a Monday in the office that you want to leave, you know, that's the gift. That's like, that is the perfect jumping off point for you to create the next greatest and grandest version of yourself. And therefore, it is infinitely divine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's starting where your feet are.
Starting where your feet are.
Is noticing the moment. And yeah, it absolutely, absolutely is. And the more spaciousness that you create, the more that you'll begin to notice your worthiness. Every single moment is divine. Every single moment is happening exactly as it should be. And it was always going to happen this way. That's one that I always love to say too, because I spent about a decade of my life arguing with reality of what happened.
Right.
And once I accepted, it was always going to happen this way.
Right.
I just didn't know it.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And the space that created for me, to surrender into the moment of what is and accepting it as perfect.
Yeah. Perfectly imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would love to shift gears here as we wind down and, you know, the listeners know I love to hear story time, any good story of synchronicity or serendipity or a positive paranormal story up your sleeve that you care to share.
I shared this with you before. This is like kind of random, before we started to record. And this was just a moment of trusting my own intuition. And really the moment that I now know was a deep moment of clear cognizance and of knowing.
Mm-hmm.
This was a moment where it was Memorial Day weekend. This was before I woke up to everything. Mm-hmm. So this was about 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you always hear like, don't drive after midnight on Memorial Day weekend. And, I was with a couple friends and they said, oh, let's just drive from this house to this house. They wanted to go over to my house. And I was like, you know, guys, I just don't feel comfortable. I don't think that we should. I don't think we should drive. And they're like, no, come on. Like, why? It's 5 minutes down the road. Like, I was like, I don't know. I just don't feel comfortable driving.
Mm.
And I had this thing bubble up inside of me. And they were kind of like being pretty pushy. And I just blurted out, because someone's going to run a red light and hit us.
Wow.
And I said that. Wow. Yeah. And then I felt crazy.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh my God, what did I just say? Yeah. And then everybody looked at me and I looked at them and I was like, this is weird. And at the time, like, keep in mind, I mean, I don't even know what claircognizance is. I don't have any framework. I was just like, that's strange. Why'd I say that? So then me being embarrassed, I'm like, okay, well, yeah, sorry. That was weird. I guess we'll get in my car and go. Right. And the whole time I'm sitting in the passenger seat, I have a friend driving and another friend in the back. And I'm like scanning. There's no cars on the road at this point. And I'm just like on hyper alert. Like something told me to watch out. And we come to a four-way stop and the light, we get the green left-hand arrow. And we pull out into the middle intersection. And I'm not kidding you, Brandon, out of absolutely nowhere, this sports car zooms through and it had to have been 120 miles an hour. I mean, like, so quick.
Wow.
Yeah. And zooms and I scream like, stop. And I'm like, smack my friend across the chest who was driving. And we slammed on our brakes. And I mean, it whiffed the car within inches. And like, as fast as the car came, it went.
Wow.
And it was,
it just blew through the stoplight.
Blew through the red light.
Wow.
And like, they turned the music off immediately and they're like, how did you know that? And I was like, I don't know.
Wow.
And then we just drove home in complete silence. And I'm still friends with these people today. And we literally were talking about it a few months ago. Mm-hmm. Like, do you remember that time?
Wow.
And my friend's like, I could never forget it. And so I share that story because that was like the first one that came to mind because it's so potent.
Yeah.
Because it really, like, I mean, I had witnesses to, I'm like, I'm not crazy, right? Like, this whole thing happened. And I say that to say, whatever gut instincts that you have, they are leading you and guiding you. And that one, I believe I had a very strong intuitive knowing because I had, whatever, that's angels, my father watching over me, whatever it was that sent me that message of like, really to pay attention. Because had I not gotten that message, like, I probably wouldn't be sitting here talking to you today. So
yeah.
It's now looking back and knowing what I know, being on this realm, I know in this realm, I know that was a very clear instinct of claircognizance and an inner knowing. But yeah, the message there is like, follow that gut, follow that intuition, even when it doesn't make sense to other people, even when it makes you feel like you're crazy.
Right.
It is guiding you always. And that's always just a kind of a crazy story.
Yeah, that is.
That I tell. And yeah.
That is. It makes me think of an episode I did a few weeks back talking about intuitive guidance and how I believe in my, you know, many years of sort of bumping up against many people with, you know, who do that for a living, like are giving information, whether channeling or psychic, you know, guidance. I found at the end of the day, tapping into your own intuition is the most powerful thing that you can do. It's empowering versus out there, please tell me and show me the way. And I think the more you can be open to that, the more you'll get it. And the more, you know, guidance, direct access we all can have. So, wow, what a cool story. Well, I'm glad you made a fool of yourself to your friends and survived.
Yes. Me too. You know, I wasn't such a fool anymore. No, I don't know what they thought of me after that.
Yeah. The Oracle, Rachel the Oracle.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, for those who want to connect and follow you and check out the podcast and all the things, if you would, tell them how to do it.
Yes, absolutely. So you can connect with me on all social media platforms, Instagram, TikTok, at Rachel Gibbler, which I'm sure you'll put in the show notes, or at my podcast page, It's Fucking Spiritual. You can also listen to the podcast on any and all platforms, Spotify, Apple, you name it. I've got a course as well that is instant access to about 25 hours of content called Manifestation University, just teaching you all different principles of self-development, spirituality, and how to actually make them real, raw, and applicable in your life. So I've got a 10% off code for all of Brandon's listeners here at Positive Head as well. So you can use the code Positive Head for 10% off of that self-paced course, and reach out to me, DM me if you have any questions or just want to connect. And I always love to have more community and love chatting with you guys. So definitely don't be shy.
Well, that's very gracious of you. I'm sure some people will be reaching out and connecting. And this has been amazing. Amazing to have the chance to connect with you and learn more about your story. And thank you for coming on to share your wisdom. I do have one final question for you. And it is this. In 60 seconds or less, what is the meaning of life according to Rachel Gibler?
Ooh. The meaning of life, according to me, would be to become and to reveal the essence of who it is that you are, your truth. And it's more I'd say reveal the essence of who you are, because you always were exactly who you're meant to be. And I think the essence of life is rediscovering that and remembering that and re-finding it.
Yeah.
Again.
I agree. Re-remembering as we come back together with the parts of ourselves that have been buried.
Yeah.
You know? Well, this has been amazing, Rachel. Thank you so much for taking the time. And all of you out there, for tuning your beautiful brainwaves and incredible hearts into another episode. Until next time, journey well.
Thank you.